All right, welcome to Worship 2.0 podcast, and today we are blessed to have the worship leader for that great song, He's Our Victorious King, from I Will Rejoice, David Butterball. Welcome, David.
Thank you, David. Good to be here.
What'd you think? Did that song bring back some memories for you?
Well, all those songs bring back memories. That's a great song, a great song.
Yeah,
He's Our Victorious King.
Yes, there you go. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that album, a great album. And like I say, great songs, there's no expiration date. So any great memories when you, I know it's been a while, but any great memories or stories you'd like to tell us about that project?
Well, that was like 35 years ago, 1987. I was a minister of worship at a local church, a large church here in Dallas. And prior to that time, I had been involved. I was the worship leader, teacher, staff person at Christ for the Nations here in Dallas. And of course, Christ for the Nations was one of the first organizations that put out a live worship album back in the early 70s.
I remember those cassette tapes. I've got them. I've still got them.
Those are pretty rough. But what you went on the tape is what you got. There was no post-production at that time.
Yep.
And there at the school, our students were prolific songwriters. And about the mid-80s, I started getting a phone calls from Garrett Gustafson. Identified himself as being with this ministry called Integrity Music, and they were going to be producing worship tapes. And he would call me sometimes once a week, once every other week, and want to know if I knew who the author of some particular song was. Authors you would recognize by the name of Marty Nystrom or Debbie Grafsma or Sandra Corbett, some of those names that were students that had written songs and songs were making the rounds. Like Marty Nystrom wrote As the Deer Pants for the Water.
Yeah, and right.
So I made those connections for Garrett to where the songs came from so they could begin to do due diligence on the copyright situations. And then I left Christ for the Nations in 85, and December of 85, went to Word of Faith Family Church here in Dallas and maintained contact with Integrity. And then early in the year in 87, Garrett said, we'd like to have you lead worship on one of our albums. And, the process at that time, I flew to St. Louis and worked with Tom Brooks, who was the arranger for the songs, and that was a real pleasure to hear the songs orchestrated and given some more professional sound, filling out the sound than with just a live band there at Christ for the Nations or whatnot, and working up the song list, putting together songs that were, I'm going to use this term, singable. They were easily singable songs. The choruses, scripture choruses, repeatable choruses that were just intimate with the Lord.
Yeah, I see Doug Bergsma did one of the songs on that album.
Doug was a friend of mine from in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which was where I came from back in the early to mid 70s. I was involved in worship there in Michigan, and Doug was a friend of mine. And yes, I heard his song and used that on the album. And they say we put together those medleys that were just really nice, flowing, singable songs that the people loved. Our church, I was leading worship here. Church was several thousand people, and they loved those songs. We put together a choir from a number of churches here in the Dallas area. And they, the choir came in on the night before we did the actual recording, and we put down the choir track as a background, and it was a special time with just the choir. We had probably six or seven churches involved putting that choir together. Mm-hmm. And then of course we had the live worship set with the church in attendance. I think there was maybe 3,000 people there that night. And, you know, it was interesting. That was the first time I had ever led worship with a tape in the background. Yeah. We didn't have a live orchestra. We didn't have musicians. They played the tape in the auditorium and the people sang along with it. It was really fun, really. It was easy.
And where was that recorded at?
That was recorded at Word of Faith Family Church here in Dallas.
Oh, in Dallas. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right here in Dallas at Word of Faith Family Church. And lo and behold, the album came out, and the next month in Charisma Magazine, they did a little review on it and said it was a timeless album, was singable, was exciting, was joyful. Joyful was good, seeing that the album was called "I Will Rejoice."
Yes, yeah.
So,
well, but a big thing too is that, you know, when you say singable, we talked about this earlier prior to getting on about nowadays, a lot of songs people cannot sing to them. The words are nice, but they can't sing.
Yes,
and that's a major thing to me. You know, of what makes a good song. I think you were talking to somebody that told you, as far as songwriting, what makes a good song when you're writing a song. I forget who that person
was. Yeah. Well, actually, it was the guys from Integrity came to town. They came to town early that week that we did the album. And Mike Coleman asked me to get together. We had here in Dallas, we had a fellowship of worship leaders from probably 40 to 50 churches. We got together the first Wednesday of every month for lunch, and just a very informal time that we would meet at a restaurant and just have a fellowship time, and we'd worship together and pray together, bless one another. So I called on all those guys to come together, and Integrity sponsored an evening meal at a local hotel facility. And I remember Garrett and Mike Coleman both standing up and saying, you know, we're calling on worship leaders that we know across the nation, and we're calling upon you as worship leaders here in Dallas to be submitting songs. And here's what we're looking for. We're looking for songs that are singable. They are simple. They are basically short, repeatable, something that people can easily jump into and grab a hold of. And as we've had discussion, David, in the past couple of weeks, I like a lot of the songs that are currently being sung in churches. They're good songs, but they are difficult to sing. There's three verses and two choruses and a bridge. And when I watch the congregation where we go to church, I typically sit in the balcony, and I watch the congregation of several thousand people. And when hands go up, and when people really begin to enter into the worship, is in the chorus,
right?
The simple little chorus,
right,
part that's repeated throughout the song.
Yep.
All the verses, though they may be doctrinally correct and good truth, they're just the melody lines are sometimes difficult. And for congregational worship, the Garrett and Mike and the guys from Integrity said, for congregational worship, we're looking for simple, singable, repeatable songs.
Well, and to me, it's, you know, and I've visited a number of churches through the years, and when I would leave, sometimes I'd quite often leave a little upset, because, you know, I'd say to my wife, I says, can you sing back to me just one of the songs that they did today? Can you sing it back to me? See, to me, that's a sign of a good song. It's like you find yourself leaving church singing that song. You know?
Yeah.
That didn't happen too often.
That makes a good congregational worship song.
Yep.
You know, I have said there are great songs. There are great ministry songs. There are great testimony songs that are not necessarily worship songs.
Right.
Special
music songs.
Yeah. Yeah.
For songs,
a lot of that.
Yeah.
And you know, I try not to get too critical. I don't want to be negative. But there's just a lot of songs. They don't, as you said, they don't grab me. They're not something that I find myself humming through the week.
Right, right, right.
And those songs are, you know, I think we mentioned, you know, the simple old chorus, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice.
There you go.
You know, it's basically four lines in the song.
Yeah.
And when I'm out working in my yard, I'm whistling the song. I'm humming the song. It's just going through my mind.
God is good
timeless,
all the time.
Simple. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
True.
But, yeah.
So,
and I know you're not leading worship now, but I love what you said. It says, but worship is still in my heart and you're still a worshiper. So
I'm still a worshiper.
I can tell that.
Yeah. It's, you know, things happen. Physiologically, my voice just isn't what it used to be. I had some saliva glands removed from my mouth. I don't have the saliva that I used to, you know, and my vocal cords just aren't as strong as they were at one time. And, you know, good grief, I'm going to be 71 in about 3 or 4 weeks. I got the old man's voice now.
No, you're just a young guy.
Yeah.
But I know you're involved in a ministry. I think you were telling me a little about. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that ministry?
I am currently involved, very involved in an organization, a ministry called Fellowship of the Sword, or the Quest Life, Quest, the Quest Life. Fellowshipofthesword.com or thequestlife.com. People could go to those website. Uh-huh. Either one will take you to the same website. We, in essence, in a simple one sentence statement, what we do, we provide a safe place for people to come and encounter God.
Mm-hmm.
We do that. We have our principal event is called a Quest. Quest is a 5.5-day event that's designed to uncover, unlock, and unleash in a person.
Uh-huh.
Uncover things maybe in the past, uncover things about our formative years, uncover things that have helped us and have developed us into the person that we currently are. We unlock who is the real person, who has God called you to be. Take the keys and unlock whatever it takes to allow us to be turned loose and to be free and to be unleashed, to be filled with passion, to truly live life as God designed us to live it.
Mm-hmm.
And 5.5 days is what I tell people is this. Just pray and ask God if he would like to spend some extended time with you. And listen for the answer. And it's kind of a loaded question, because if God says no, then you're kind of in a world of hurt. God doesn't want to spend time with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe that God wants our attention. He wants our devotion. And when you go on a normal church retreat, a men's retreat, you leave Friday night, you're there Saturday, you come back Sunday afternoon. It's basically a 48-hour, possibly, time together.
Right.
But we're looking at 5.5 days. We turn off our cell phones. We don't have TVs. There's no computers. And for the men's event, the men's quest, there are no women involved. For the women's quest, there are no men involved. In other words, we try and remove the distractions of our day-to-day life and allow people through the procedure, the process that we have. We do have a manual that we work through in those 5.5 days and allow them to really connect with the Father heart of God. And it's a, we have people come that aren't saved. We have pastors come. We have we've had people in their 90s come and go on these quests. And it's just amazing how God meets every individual at their point of need to uncover, unlock, and unleash and give them an encounter with the presence of God. It's an incredible, incredible time. I went on a quest in January of 2009 after having been a Christian, a born-again Christian, for 40 years. And I can honestly say, David, that nothing that I have ever done or participated in so radically affected my daily walk with Jesus mm-hmm. as a 5.5 days on a quest. Yeah. I encourage all my friends. I've had a number of friends. All of my family members have participated in a quest. Just an astounding event that really puts a person in connection with the Lord.
Well, just think, I mean, we have so many distractions. It's unbelievable. You know, take a person's cell phone away from for one day and they would go immediate withdrawal, you know. Take the TV away from them. Take, you know, take the video games. I mean, every distraction you can think of. And it's like, how is God mm-hmm. supposed to fit into that?
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Well, that sounds exciting. Yeah, how can they, so once give once again the websites that they can go to?
You can go to fellowshipofthesword.com or thequestlife, THEQUESTLIFE. .com. Either questlife.com or fellowshipofthesword.com will take you to the website, and you can click on you know, the toolbar across the top, who we are, what we do, events, and get further information. And of course, there's a phone number there. If anybody is curious, they can call the phone number and get more information about our events and what we do. So I am involved with staffing those events. I facilitate those events, and I'm involved. Just as I am a retired person, I've been retired for 4.5 years. The ministry owns a ranch in East Texas, and I go out there and spend a week, approximately a month, 1 week a month in just manual labor, mowing, brush hogging, chainsawing trees, cleaning up brush and stuff. That's one of my happy places to go out and spend time with the Lord while I'm doing manual labor.
There you go.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you get to Michigan, I'm looking for somebody to help me on my lawn.
Well,
if you enjoy that, I don't.
I enjoy doing my own lawn.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, listen, that sounds like an exciting ministry, and I appreciate you being with us today. Get a little insight on. I'm trying to connect with fellow worship leaders on the various projects and get the word out there. And so I hope that maybe you'll come back again and we can do another podcast together.
We can maybe do that. And I'll get to Michigan, planning to get there in a few months. Maybe we can have coffee or lunch or something.
Well, let's
together.
Do that. And as we close out, I'm going to play one of my favorite songs from that album, which is... Remember that one?
Yes, sir.
There you go. That's great a great song. One. So, David, thanks for being with us. And,
it's a pleasure.
Make sure you look me up when you come to Grand Rapids.
I'll do that. We'll be in touch. God bless you, sir. Okay. Appreciate all you do.
Okay, bless you, man.